Hello, this is Pastor Nick Hood, and today I want to talk about rescue love. Rescue love. Rescue love is often associated with retrieving or rescuing, if you will, animals, dogs and cats that have been abused, animals that are stray, and some loving human being takes the animals in. And so we have a rescue love. But rescue love is not just relegated to animals. Rescue love is also for human beings. There are times in our lives when a relationship goes sour, times in our lives when we're lonely, when we're hurt, times in our lives when we have been abused, taken advantage of by somebody. And then when some new loving, kind person comes into our lives, they literally can rescue us. They can rescue us from our hurt, from our pain, our shame. They rescue us from a life of boredom and misery. And all of a sudden, life is turned anew. And I have a friend who's a psychiatrist, and she tells me that rescue love among human beings can sometimes have disastrous relationships. I'd never thought about it quite like that, or disastrous results. She says that sometimes there are people who could be identified as rescuers, people who make a point of establishing relationships with people who are hurt, who are downtrodden, who are lonely, who are miserable. And they make it their point in life to bring joy into this sad person's life. But she says that sometimes the rescuer can take advantage of the one whose life they have rescued. But that's not my message today. You know, I don't want to go too deep into the rescuer, in terms of negative behavior. But I want to talk about rescue love from the context of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan is a story about a man who, actually, it's about at least five people. Let me see if I can name them for you. Number one, there's a victim. The man who ultimately is rescued. And he's a victim on the road to Jericho. Jericho was a center of commerce. Even today, Jericho is a place full of fresh water springs. I've been there. I led a church trip there in 2018 to Israel, and I was surprised to find the commerce in Jericho. The other thing that's interesting to me about Jericho is that it seems to be a stone's throw, although it's longer than a stone's throw because you have to take a tram to get up the mountain where it is believed that Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. So Jesus had a familiarity with Jericho. It's a place today because of the fresh water. Even in the time of Jesus, the fresh water springs underneath the city make the land fertile. They have olive groves. They have all kinds of flowers and vegetation there. And I was frankly surprised to see the strengths of Jericho. But it is on the road to Jericho that a man falls victim to thieves. And so we had the thieves in the story, and we're told that they beat him, they strip him, they leave him half for dead. I'm going to read for you in a minute from Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25, the story of the Good Samaritan. But I want to tell you about these five people. So number one, you have the victim. Number two, you have a Levite who is from the priestly family of Levi. And many of the Levites became priests. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is a Levite. So they are religious people. That's number two. Number three is a priest. And I don't know if he's from the tribe of Aaron or the tribe of Levi, but you have a priest. So you have the Levite who sees the man beaten on the road and he does nothing. You have the priest who sees the man, the victim, beaten on the road. He doesn't do a thing. Then we have the fourth person, the Good Samaritan. He comes along and he crosses the road. And I'm going to come back to him in a minute. But he's really the focus of my story today because I'm talking about rescue love. And to me, the Good Samaritan is an example of rescue love. He doesn't have to rescue the man on the other side of the road, but he feels compassion. He feels compelled, and so he crosses the road. He's number four. The fifth person is the innkeeper. After the Good Samaritan picks up the wounded man, binds his wounds, puts him on his animal, takes him into Jericho, he takes him to an inn, you know, like Holiday Inn, Motel, Hotel, Holiday Inn. He takes him to an inn, and it is in this inn where he talks to the innkeeper with his wounded man. He stays there with him for a while, tends to the man's wounds, and he tells the innkeeper, I'd like to leave this man here until I come back. I'll give you 2 shillings or 2, you know, pieces of money. But when I come back, if there's anything additional that you had to do for the man, if he stays longer than my 2, you know, pieces of silver will cover, then I will pay for it. And the innkeeper vouches for the man. He vouches for the Good Samaritan. He vouches for the injured man. So let me read this story for you. This is from Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. So I want to break down this story into some key points. Number one, the injured man is a victim of happen chance. And one of the lessons from this is that often good and evil happen by chance. The poor man is just on his way to Jericho. I don't know if he's on his way to Jericho or leaving Jericho, but bad people, people with evil intent, descended upon the man on the road to Jericho. The Good Samaritan is also on the road to Jericho by chance. He's, you know, he doesn't know the injured man. I don't think he knew the thieves, but he's just on the road. And What do we learn from this? We have two religious men, the Levite and the priest, who sidestep the injured man and refuse to help him. Then there's the Samaritan. To some, he might be an unlikely person to rescue the injured man, who I think we can assume he was Jewish. And he's an unlikely person to rescue the injured man, and Jesus makes a point of this. Because of his religious and ethnic background, Jesus makes the point that this fellow, the Good Samaritan, is a Samaritan. Now, who are the Samaritans? They were from the area of Samaria. During the time of the kings, first kings, Samaria became really the center of Israel. So it had a deep and a long history with Israel. It had its kings, it had its religiosity. But as we proceed to the time of, Solomon, what we have is that during and then after the death of Solomon in particular, Samaria was identified with the, apostasy. It was identified with people who went against the will of God. And then as opposed to Judea in the south, Jericho is in the south. Jerusalem is in the south. And the Samaritans worship God, the same God as the God of the Israelites, but they worship God on a Mount Gerizim. The Israelites worship God in Jerusalem. And so you have that conflict. And then in addition to the, the religious conflict, you had the social conflict. The Samaritans were, in many cases, the product of intermarriage with people from Assyria, people from, Babylon and Persia, all those other areas, and had impregnated the women, and they were lighter skinned. That's what I read about. Many of them were light-skinned, so you could tell them from a mile away that they were not dark-skinned like the original Jews. And you may ask me, why do I know that? Well, when Jesus was born, think about when Mary and Joseph flee from King Herod. Where do they go? They go to Egypt. They don't go to Samaria. They don't go to Persia. They go to Egypt. And if you look at the Nubians today in Egypt, and I've been there, you look at the Nubians, they are dark as any dark-skinned African-American. They are as dark as any African. And so the Samaritans were very visible. And Jesus tells this story from the perspective of a good Samaritan because to some, the Samaritan might have been an unlikely person to rescue the injured man because of his religious and ethnic background. And there's a lesson in this, and the lesson is good deeds are not restricted to your kin or ethnicity. I'm an African American, but frankly, some of the people who are hardest on African Americans are African American. And that's not to let other groups off the hook. But the point that I'm making is, you think about the mass shootings in America this year. The mass shootings in America primarily have been committed by white people killing white children in white schools. That's not 100% the case. You have some exceptions to the rule, but the point that I'm making is that good and bad deeds are not restricted to your kin and your ethnicity. And then Jesus asked the religious lawyer, which one treated the injured man as his neighbor? And the lawyer had to reply, the one who showed him mercy. Now, I'm planning to preach on this text on Sunday, and if you're not in the Detroit area, I invite you to watch it online on YouTube at Plymouth United Church of Christ Detroit or Facebook at 8:30 in the morning, or you can look at the church's website, www.pucccdetroit.org. So I want to come back to this rescue love, and I want you to ask yourself, am I a person in need of being rescued? Number two, am I a person who is not afraid to rescue somebody who's hurting, somebody who's lonely, somebody who's brokenhearted, someone who's been abused, or maybe you yourself are in need of being rescued? As a boy, when I was around 14, Fontella Bass had a song that simply said, it was entitled, is entitled, Rescue Me, Come Into My Heart. I'm trying to remember the words now. I'm lonely, I'm blue, I need loving, and I need you. Rescue me. And Jesus wants us to rescue other people. Jesus wants us to be like the Good Samaritan. Jesus wants us to cross the road. Jesus wants us to come out of our comfort zone. Jesus wants us to get beyond our social and ethnic group if somebody is hurting, and to do what we can to help them. So, my friends, that's the word that I share with you today. Thank you for listening, and I want to leave you with a prayer. Lord, give me the courage to rescue those who are in need, move me from my comfort zone, and give me compassion to cross the road, to tend to the injured, to provide food to the hungry. Make me never so content with my style of life that I lose compassion for the poor, the tired, the hungry, the abused, and the accused. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is Pastor Nick Hood. God bless. God keep you. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. If you like it, I hope you will tell a friend about it. And remember, I am praying for you.